And welcome to the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody out there that's listening. I know you guys missed me last week. Had a lot of stuff outside of the show going on, but I'm back. Make sure you guys go to SeanGreenShow.com. Yes, that is SeanGreenShow.com. All the latest news, interviews, and podcasts are definitely up at SeanGreenShow.com. Also, check me out on WGNPlus.com. You can find the hottest interviews there. And if you want to stalk me on Facebook, it's Sean Green Show Media. You can check me out there on Sean Green Show Media if you want to stalk me on Facebook. Now, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Sean Green Show. I think that's pretty much it. I got to, you know, throw out that at you. A lot of stuff I'm throwing at you. Another week, a lot of cool stuff going on in the video gaming world. A lot of things that's concerning me in the video gaming world. And who else better to bring in to talk about that is review editor from Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMNow.com, and RayCarcillo.com, the one and only Ray Carcillo. He now joins us. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
How much, Sean? How you doing, dude?
Hey, I'm doing all right. So, all right, I'm reading the New York Times, right? And I see an article that states that in esports, they're going to start drug testing. First of all, why is this even necessary? And two, how can a drug help somebody play a video game?
So basically, the reason why now that drug testing is being instituted in esports is because, fortunately, some folks felt the need, much like baseball players, football players, basketball players, and every professional athlete, they felt they needed to get an edge. And in this case, a group, at least one player on a team called Cloud9, has decided to admit to, in the middle of a tournament, using Adderall. Now, Adderall, of course, typically used to control someone's ADHD, but it can also be used as help you concentrate and as a stimulant. And so this person, in order to help keep their concentration up in the middle of obviously a tournament where your twitch reflexes need to be at their peak, decided that he needed an advantage. So now, much like a lot of these sports that have instituted random drug testing and whatnot to try and catch players who are also trying to legally get an edge, esports and many of the ruling bodies for places like the ESL and whatnot have felt they need to institute similar policies. And of course, things like Adderall can be found in the blood through testing and whatnot. They need to institute similar policies to prevent this from happening and to keep the sanctity of the sport intact.
Wow. And this is pretty big. So, I mean, with esports, how much money is being generated through esports for them to take it this far as, you know, in drug testing?
Well, I mean, you look at some of these tournaments and these teams are walking away with millions of dollars in cash. I mean, you look at the Call of Duty Championship every year, and it's $1 million split between four players. So, I mean, for these players to risk possible health or breaking the rules for an attempt to try and get an edge over their opponent, it's obviously clearly worth it. I mean, the idea of, you know, this particular tournament wasn't as much as the Call of Duty one, but you know, in terms of standing, in terms of trying to get ahead in the sport, it could not necessarily, you know, if you do well, it could also mean tons of money in sponsorship down the line. So, I mean, not only was it possibly a chance for them to win this particular tournament and line their purses in the short term, but it could also have been a long-term strategy in terms of building up their team name, building up their team credibility, and, of course, then getting more sponsorships that could allow them to participate in more tournaments in the future.
Wow. And now since this one guy came out and admitted to it, is he going to face any kind of recourse into after admitting all of this?
Well, this particular individual will be left alone because the governing body has said at this point there's really nothing they can do in hindsight. The tournament took place several months ago. It was really kind of a no harm, no foul situation because the team didn't do that good anyway. But in the future, to prevent this from ever happening again and the possible risk of this ever happening again and again possibly tainting anyone's victories or defeats, they have decided to that this is a policy they have to institute, similar to it's a similar one to actually that baseball currently has.
Wow. And do you think that like drugs and gambling and other things involved in esports will kill the scene? Because, you know, as far as the gaming world, you know, it's kind of like the geek culture, you know, with the comic books. You know, at one point, you know, it was just a small group of people that was into it. And now that is hitting the mainstream, that, you know, all this outside things that can taint the original, you know, sport per se. Do you think that'll just kill the scene with all this stuff being involved in it now?
I think that, you know, I mean, it shows that gaming isn't above any, you know, gaming isn't above any of these other hobbies, comics or sports or movies or anything like that. I think that it won't, you know, take it down or really hinder anything. I think it's just something that now we need to keep more of an eye out for, and understand that, you know, there's this, because, I mean, gaming comparatively is obviously not near, especially esports and competitive gaming, isn't nearly as old as a lot of these other institutions, but it's something that we need to keep an eye on. And you know, the fact that the ESL and the esports governing bodies have reacted as quickly as they have kind of shows that gaming is kind of more on, it has its fingers on the pulse of what's going on in its community and going on in the world around it. So, but I don't think it will hurt gaming in the long run or prevent gaming from growing or keep people out of gaming. It's just something that, now that it's been brought to the attention that everyone needs to kind of, it just needs to be something else. It's another concern.
All right, good to go. All right, we got a couple new games that's out that I want to actually ask you some questions about. And one of them was Godzilla, one of my personal favorite movie characters or villains or whatever you want to classify it as. This Godzilla game, what's the storyline behind it, and how many different modes does this game offer?
So the Godzilla game, it's really kind of a throwback to those old, the old Godzilla movies from, you know, where you had a guy in a suit stomping on a cardboard city. So it was really very much a throwback in that sense. And much like back then, you know, Godzilla has come to, you know, man has messed with things he shouldn't mess with, and Godzilla has come to wreak his vengeance upon the world. And in the process, you know, he's awoken other monsters, and so not only is he trying to destroy the human world, but he's also trying to put down, you know, all these other classic monsters like Mothra and Destroya and you know, all the other ones that we know from those classic movies.
Yeah.
In terms of extra modes, there's really two primary modes. The first mode is where Godzilla has to stomp around in a city and try and rack up as many points as possible. And in the process of destroying the city, we'll also have to face one of these classic monsters. Basically you do this again and again, level by level. The second mode is where you act as a friendly monster and you try to prevent as much destruction as possible, but again, end up fighting one of these classic monsters, in this case, on the side of humanity.
Oh, wow. Now, as far as like the overall fun factor, if you was to put a rating on this right now, what would you rate it?
In terms of a number, it's hard. I would probably only give it a 5 out of 10, because unfortunately, Godzilla, you know, there are some good things where it does pay decent fan service to those classic, those classic movies, and the design is interesting. It looks very nice on the especially on the PS4. It's really very slow. For something that's primarily meant to be a fighting game, the pacing is just really horrible. The monsters, their moves, there's not a lot of variety to them. Mm-hmm. You end up going into simple combos and just kind of mashing the same buttons over and over again. It becomes, you know, kind of really tedious after a while, and there's not a lot of variety here to offer fans something that would keep them going for more than a couple hours. I think people would get very bored of it very quickly.
All right, great. Let's move on to J-Star's Victory Versus. It's to my understanding that this game was not in the U.S. and is finally here in the U.S. What can we expect from this game?
So J-Star's Victory Versus Plus is basically a remake of a PS3 game now for the PS4, and it's a combination of a lot of great different, you know, Shonen Jump universes, everything from Dragon Ball to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, things like that. It mixes all these different characters together, One Piece, characters from One Piece. What ends up happening is that for some reason there's these parallel universes and they kind of get smushed together. So all these characters have to meet and they have to figure out why, their universes have come together. And what is honestly not a pretty lackluster story. I would have actually liked something a bit more epic in terms of how things came together and how they have to end up coming back to normal. There's 45 classic Shonen Jump characters in here, and only a few of them ever really get the spotlight shown on them in a way in the story that really makes it feel like the universe has any kind of energy to it. Other than that, again, the story also progresses. It is an overworld, but it progresses primarily in a way that you would expect in a fighting game, kind of like almost like an RPG where you bump into characters in the overworld, and then you get sent into a fighting match, and you obviously have to win these matches to progress the story. And unfortunately, it's not that great a fighter.
What about the online gameplay? Is that kind of jazz it up a little bit? Or is it pretty much the same?
It's pretty much the same. Even as a fan of like Bleach and JoJo and like in Dragon Ball, it's your very typical standard fighting fare. It's not. And because the fighting gameplay itself isn't that great, again, because the characters aren't that varied, they don't have, you find yourself kind of slipping into the same sort of couple of combos. Nobody really has, there aren't a lot of special moves, nearly as many special moves as you would expect from the lineup of characters that you have here. It's really kind of a disappointment, not only offline, but also online.
Oh, wow. All right, so let's move on to Trial Fusion's awesome Level Max expansion, this DLC that was recently released. What are some of the new things that's available in this DLC?
So this DLC features 30 brand new tracks, of course, for Trials Fusion. Got 10 Supercross tracks, 30 challenges, and over 130 brand new objects that you can use in the create a track in the editor. The big thing is that basically there's 22 of the 30 tracks are super hard courses created by developer Red Lynx, as well as some fan favorites that they picked from the community. The ones that really have drawn people in, though, are the 8 that caused this to become awesome Level Max, right? So it's basically your rider on your motocross cycle basically gets turned into a cat riding a unicorn and shooting rainbows.
Wow.
It's kind of off the wall. It really, the gameplay isn't that different from what you typically see already in the Trials Fusion game. It's just that you have this brand new skin over everything. And the thing is that it provides the track difficulty is actually, like I said, very, very satisfying, and it provides a lot of great new nuances that you haven't seen from Trials Fusion before. But I really wish that we had more than just 8 tracks with the cat and unicorn combo.
All right, great, great. Now, one thing I definitely want to ask you about, too, was RayCarcillo.com, because I know you do your own thing on the side. What's new at RayCarcillo.com?
So we've got some things going on over there. I got 20 minutes of Battleborn footage from Comic-Con that's going to be going up shortly. We also got some stuff from Rainbow Six that's going to be going up later in the week. So we got a lot of video stuff that's going to be going up in the next couple of weeks. So we're trying to do a lot more video content, which, of course, it's a great way for people to see those games that are coming out this fall that they should keep an eye out on beforehand. So we're going to be trying to do more video content in the future.
All right, great. And I'm definitely going to keep in contact with you about all the latest video games and stuff, because I'm not going to lie to you. I'm totally just geeking out on Arkham Knight. So I've been playing it for like the past week and a half, and I can't get off of it, because once I leave here, that's exactly what I'm going to go do, is go play Arkham Knight. And I'm glad that you recommended that game, because I love it. I honestly love it. So wouldn't have known, to really like have it unless you gave it a good review. So I thank you for that right there.
Yeah, no, of course, dude. Yeah, I mean, Arkham Knight's got a lot of good stuff in it. Little, the Batmobile is a little wonky at times, but other than that, it's pretty good.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. All right, that's Ray Carcillo, review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMNow.com, RayCarcillo.com. Make sure you guys check him out on Twitter. It's at Ray Carcillo if you want to check him out on Twitter, and make sure you guys check out Ray Carcillo. .com as well. He has a lot of stuff that's gonna be up, especially the video content, if you want to check all that good stuff out too. Hey Ray, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Sean,
and we'll be back right after this.